In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the last of the talks that I want to give on the call to holiness. But I want to touch most of this, still quoting from Novo Millennio Ineunte, and I'm starting now with number 32. Prayer. We have to fight for prayer. Besides our own sloth and our own distraction, there's this blessed television. And I'm not saying there's no time for recreation. I'm just saying it gets to be that we don't really have time to be with God in a way that He can transform us. And it gets to be, even if it's dry, even if it doesn't seem to be doing much, there's an inner urge within us to be with the Lord, to pray, to talk to Him, to listen to Him, even if it seems to be dry. Something in our spirit knows it's being fed. And that's so important, because without it, people won't be able to really know what's going on. So I'm going to talk now about the training in holiness, and I'm going to talk about it in terms of prayer. Well, actually, the Pope is going to talk about it. This training, I'm quoting, in holiness calls for a Christian life distinguished above all, in the art of prayer. Better than, you know, more important than being nice to people, we got to do that too. More important than keeping the place looking good, and, you know, the most important thing we have to do is pray. And now this was written, of course, during the Jubilee year. So he's saying, the Jubilee year has been a year of more intense prayer, both personal and communal. But we well know that prayer cannot be taken for granted. We have to learn to pray, as it were, learning this art ever anew from the lips of the Divine Master Himself, like the first disciples. Lord, teach us how to pray. If we go to the Lord that way, He will. He will teach us. He'll open up our heart. He'll make us much more aware of Himself in the Blessed Sacrament, of the Father beckoning to us, loving us, giving us such a, what can I say? To know the Father is to know such complete affirmation, such complete forgiveness, such an unending deserving of love and trust. And our hearts go out and trust the Father. That's one of the turning points in a Christian life, to get to know the Father in such a way that we trust Him. That's part of the grace that Paul is talking about when he talks about, that the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray by saying, Abba. It doesn't just the word Abba. It's that whole movement toward the Father, sharing the divine affection that Jesus has for the Father. And that's what it's saying here. Prayer develops that conversation with Christ which makes us His intimate friends. Abide in me, and I in you. This reciprocity is the very substance and soul of the Christian life. This reciprocity. You know, I don't know why this, but there's such a depth of reciprocity. You know, I think I've told you this even before. St. Teresa of Avila was going all around Spain trying to help her sisters renew their Carmelite life. And she was traveling in a kind of a donkey cart in the back. And one day the cart, there was the driver, I guess. One day the cart was going through a little brook, and it tipped over and kaplunk. She fell right into the water. Chilly water, too. And the Lord came and looked at her. And he said, well, that's the way I treat my friends. She said, well, then it's no wonder you have so few of them. Wouldn't it be nice to be that close to Jesus, to know that we're not offending him, I'm not mad at him, I love him. But it's true, the more you hang around with him, sometimes the harder things get. But also, the deeper the union gets. Okay. This reciprocity is the very substance and soul of the Christian life. Reciprocal relationship with Jesus. Because through that comes the relationship to the Father. Wrought in us by the Holy Spirit, this reciprocity opens us through Christ and in Christ. Ah, he already said it. Opens us up through Christ and in Christ to contemplation of the Father's face. You look at a face, you know exactly who the person is. When the Father shows himself in a way that you know exactly who he is, even though he's infinitely greater than I can ever understand, but I know who he is, and I recognize that. Love and compassion and truth and utter, utter reliability. You see? Learning this Trinitarian shape of Christian prayer and living it fully, above all in the liturgy, the summit and source of the Church's life, but also in personal experience, this is the secret of a truly vital Christianity, which has no reason to fear the future because it returns continually to the sources and finds in them new life, no matter what happens. You see, the Father is this endless source of new life. He's calm, but his love is overwhelming. It's fierce without being hurtful. You see, summit and source of the Christian life, but also in personal experience, is the secret of a truly vital Christianity, which has no reason to fear the future, because it returns continually to the sources and finds in them new life. Is it not one of the signs of the times that in today's world, despite widespread secularization, there is a widespread demand for spirituality, a demand which expresses itself in large part as a renewed need for prayer? Other religions, which are now widely present in ancient Christian lands, offer their responses to this need, and sometimes they do so in appealing ways. But we who have received the grace of believing in Christ, the revealer of the Father, and the Savior of the world, have a duty to show to what depths the relationship to Christ can lead. And that's what we see, huh? Why did everybody follow Mother Teresa or Padre Pio? Why? Because there you can see what following Christ can lead to, and you want to be around that. You see? The great mystical tradition of the Church, of both East and West, has much to say in this regard. It shows how prayer can progress as a genuine dialogue of love to the point of rendering the person wholly possessed by the divine beloved, vibrating at the Spirit's touch, resting filially within the Father's heart. Oh boy. You see, if we will let the Lord bring us there, when we speak about the Father, it would just melt hearts. Not because we're so eloquent, but because we're mediating an experience that's not from us. It's from God. And that's the art of preaching. It's the whole substance of preaching. There is a way that it's teaching, but it's more than teaching. It's more than witness. It's transmission. It is a journey totally sustained by grace, which nonetheless demands an intense spiritual commitment and is no stranger to painful purifications, like the dark night, as he puts here in the text. But it leads in various possible ways to the ineffable joy experienced by the mystics as nuptial union. How else can they explain and try to get us to understand, where is the Father leading us? absolutely transforming union with Him and the Son and the Spirit, transformed into Him. Nothing equals that. Nothing can replace that. See? How can we forget here, among the many shining examples, the teachings of St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila? Yes, dear brothers and sisters, our Christian communities must become genuine schools of prayer. Our Catholic parishes have to become genuine schools of prayer. You can start small. Have a little bit of time after the early morning mass when most of the people there are retired and they can stay. And some verbal, you know, vocal prayer. Nice. Get them, you know, that lovely prayer or those lovely prayers of the Polish saint. The Armies of Mary fellow. It'll come. He replaced the fellow in the concentration camp. Forgot his name right now, but you know who I mean. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, our Christian communities must become genuine schools of prayer where the meeting with Christ is expressed, not just in imploring hope, help, but also in thanksgiving, praise, adoration, thanksgiving, listening, and ardent devotion until the heart truly falls in love. Now, JP too knows what he's talking about. That's what the Lord did for him, see? Intense prayer, yes, but it does not distract us from our commitment to history. By opening our heart to the love of God, it also opens it to the love of our brothers and sisters and makes us capable of shaping history according to God's plan. If you ever read George Weigel's book, the second volume of The Life of J.P. II, all that he was involved in to finally explode the communist grip on Europe. And he had agents in, you know, KGB agents walking around the Vatican. But he knew it. But because he was in union with God, you see, he had the wisdom to know how to handle it. I'll let you enjoy that if you haven't read it. To see this mystic, who's going to be a saint in a few days now, so crafty, he knew how to keep the people who were really more communist than Catholic, keep them busy and still go on upsetting the whole thing. Genius. Okay. Intense prayer, but it does not distract us from our commitments to history. By opening our hearts to the love of God, it also opens it to the love of our brothers and sisters and makes us capable of shaping history according to God's plan. That's where I took off and talked about his work in upsetting the whole communist bloc. Christians who have received the gift of a vocation to the specially consecrated life are, of course, called to prayer in a particular way. Of its nature, their consecration makes them more open to the experience of contemplation, and it is important that they should cultivate it with special prayer. And we should pray for all those who have that vocation. But it would be wrong to think that ordinary Christians can be content with a shallow prayer that is unable to fill their whole life. Everybody's prayer should fill their whole life. The Holy Spirit can do that for us if we will be regular in prayer, whether it's pleasing or non-pleasing, whether we're tired or not tired, always continue in prayer, and the Lord will reward it, and you will know He's rewarding it. Amen.